Today's scripture comes from Acts chapter 2. It contains the end of Peter's sermon to a large group of people who had gathered in Jerusalem for the Jewish festival of Pentecost. And what happened in response to Peter's sermon is nothing short of amazing. Now, if you have your Bible, I invite you to open to Acts chapter 2. I'll read verse 14 and then continue on with verses 36 through 41. Let's now listen to our scripture. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him." And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." So those who welcomed his message were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 persons were added. Amen. Now there's a moment when something finally changes direction. We call this a turning point. And there can be all kinds of turning points in life, some big and some small. I experienced one such turning point in the fourth grade when I was introduced to the Hardy Boys. Now, back then, I really didn't like reading. I'd much rather be outside playing games or exploring in the woods. But my grades were beginning to slip, and my teacher recommended that I read more, and she suggested that I read the Hardy Boys. Now, I really didn't want to read, but I decided to give it a try, and to my surprise, I was hooked. In fact, I would get up early every morning before school to read, and then as soon as I got home from school, I would read again. I read every Hardy Boys novel that I could find, and it's because of those books that I fell in love with reading. Now, turning points are significant, but they aren't just a personal matter. Sometimes they happen to a whole group of people, which was the case in Ireland in what's known as the Easter Rising of 1916. This was a bloody moment in the struggle between the Irish and the British. It started on the Monday right after Easter when thousands of Irish men and women seized locations in Dublin and proclaimed an Irish Republic. Now, the British Army responded with force, which led to intense fighting in the streets. There were heavy casualties. Over 500 people were killed, and nearly 2,600 people were wounded. The British Army eventually put an end to the Easter Rising. Thousands of people were put in jail, and most of the Irish leaders were executed. But most people didn't like the way that Britain responded, and public opinion on Irish independence began to shift. We see another shift in public opinion in Jerusalem in the first century. And like most turning points, this shift involved a crisis that launched a movement that changed the world. And it started with the Apostle Peter. He was standing in the streets and began to speak to a large group of spectators about Jesus' resurrection. This was the first time anyone had ever spoken in public about the resurrection. And the message that Peter delivered came as a shock to the people of Jerusalem. He even accused the Israelites of crucifying and killing Jesus. And then in verse 24 he said, "But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power." Now most people didn't know what to think about the resurrection. Some were skeptical. Some doubted. But Peter said, "Jesus, this Jesus, God raised up. And of that, all of us are witnesses." Now, Peter was leading the people to see that Jesus conquered death and now sits at the right hand of God. And he said, "Let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified." Now, this was a shocking message to hear because most people in Jerusalem, especially those who held power, thought that Jesus and the movement he was leading had been snuffed out. After all, Jesus had been crucified on a cross and his body had been placed in a tomb. But God raised Jesus from the dead. And that's when public opinion began to shift. Most people began to see that Jesus had really conquered death, and the movement that he had started was picking up momentum. Now keep in mind that this was a movement that promised freedom to everyone who follows Jesus. Freedom from sin, freedom from oppression, freedom from death. And this movement was a step towards the transformation of the entire world, where joy will replace suffering, justice will replace injustice, peace will replace violence, and everlasting life will replace death. Change was happening. The established order was being shaken up. And all of this created a crisis. Now we're told in verse 37 that when the people of Jerusalem heard these words of Peter, they were cut to the heart. Now his words created a crisis for them, throwing them into a time of struggle and turmoil. And as they grappled with what they heard, they had to make a decision. In fact, the Greek word for crisis is krisis, and it literally means decision. And so the crowd of people asked Peter and the apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" Peter's answer to their question was, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the Holy Spirit." When Peter spoke those words, he wasn't concerned with any particular sin that the people may have committed. He just wanted them to move in a new direction. And that would come by making a complete reversal. That's what repentance is about. See, when you repent, you're making a complete change in your lifestyle. And if you read on in our scripture passage in verses 42 and 47, this becomes much clearer. It shows us that we're choosing to live by a different set of standards. We're choosing to follow the example and the teachings of Jesus Christ. Now, if you've been opposing Jesus, repentance means that you begin to support him. If you've been serving an earthly ruler, you now begin to serve a heavenly Messiah. And if you've been the Lord of your own life, you begin to live for a new Lord. Peter then told the crowd that after they repent, they should be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And the book of Acts talks about baptism as the normal way that you respond to the gospel message. Of course, there's nothing magical about it. Baptism is simply a sign to the world of your forgiveness. And once you've been forgiven by God, once you've been cleansed of your sin, you can go forward knowing that you have the presence of God with you. See, the gift that God gives to each of us is the gift of the Holy Spirit, who is always with us. Now, the events in Jerusalem following Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection created a crisis for the people. They had to decide whether they were going to join in on Jesus' movement or oppose it. And note that there's not any middle ground here. And the people knew this. They knew they had to choose. Well, Peter encouraged them to make a decision for Jesus when he said these words. He said, "This promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord God calls to him." Now, Peter wanted them to move in a new direction and to discover new life. And to drive home his message, he said, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Now, this would mark a turning point for the people of Jerusalem. Acts tells us in verse 41 that those who welcomed Peter's message were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 persons were added. Now, take a moment to let that sink in. 3,000 new Christians. That was a truly amazing response. And then the scripture tells us they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. In other words, there was a tremendous desire among the people to learn more about Jesus. The events in Jerusalem after Jesus' death and resurrection certainly created a crisis for the people, which then led to a turning point where there was rapid growth of the Christian church. In the blink of an eye, they went from a handful of believers to a large group of newly baptized Christians. Now, sometimes rapid change leads to chaos, but that's not the case here. The church responded to its crisis by organizing itself in such a way that they would continue the ministry and the mission of Jesus in the world. They organized themselves around teaching, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. I believe this is precisely the example we need to follow today, because we are faced with an enormous health and economic crisis. And yet this crisis may very well be a turning point. The world certainly looks different today than it did just 2 months ago. And I already hear people talking about how life is changing and how the church is changing. Now, as soon as we get a better handle on this virus, I do wonder if we'll just return to our normal way of living, or will significant changes be here for good? You know, will we ever shake hands again? Will we ever give hugs? Will churches abandon some of their buildings because they've learned that they can do so many other things virtually? And what will church life be like once the stay-at-home orders are lifted? Now, we don't know how all of this will pan out, but this crisis presents an opportunity for us to listen to the Holy Spirit and to look for where God is working. It's an opportunity for us as the church to experiment with new ways to share the gospel with others. Now, with time, the results of this crisis will become clearer. But for now, our job is to respond as faithfully as we can to these challenging circumstances. Acts even provides guidance on where we should focus our efforts. It mentions four things. First, we should give our attention to the apostles' teaching. Now, this includes the words of Peter, like Peter's words where he says, God made Jesus both Lord and Messiah. Jesus is the one who deserves our allegiance, and we should be focused on him, on learning more from his teachings and his example. Second, we should focus on fellowship. Fellowship within Christian community means sharing what we have with each other and giving what we can. We should be looking out for anyone who is suffering and in need, especially those who've lost their jobs or been furloughed. Third area of focus is on the breaking of bread. Now, we can't do much of that right now, but perhaps we can get creative and find other ways virtually to break bread with our friends and our neighbors. Maybe you could have coffee or lunch via Zoom with your neighbor or someone at church. But gathering for food and conversation is so important because it builds unity. It brings us together, and it helps us forge a path forward. And fourth, we should focus on prayer. Now, our prayers keep us connected to God, who continues to raise us up and send us forward. Prayer keeps us connected to the power behind our new life in Christ. And we need that connection especially when we're living in difficult times. Now, focusing on these four things helps when we're in a crisis, whether that crisis is big or small. Our current worldwide crisis may be a turning point for us personally and corporately. And I certainly hope that this crisis will lead to a deep spiritual awakening. We don't know how any of this will play out, but we can respond by imitating Peter and the Jerusalem Christians who faithfully followed the risen Christ by proclaiming good news to a weary and broken world. Would you bow your heads and join me in prayer? Oh God, the challenges we face today are unlike any we have ever faced. The health and economic crisis that plagues our world is discouraging, and we pray that this moment in time might be a turning point that leads to new life and draws us closer to you so that we might live with greater faithfulness. We pray that you would encourage us with your grace in the days ahead, and may your Spirit guide us in sharing your good news with those who are hurting. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.